This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Stephen Skeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. The U.S. Supreme Court today takes up a classic dispute over property rights. The case involves the rights of home and small business owners to keep their land when the state or local government wants it for redevelopment to create jobs and generate tax revenue. The land in question is in the Fort Trumbull area of New London, Connecticut. It is a peninsula, 90 acres in all, that juts out into the Thames River. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
If your home is your castle or your business the fulfillment of your dream, when can the government force you to sell? The Constitution allows the government to take private property for public use and requires that the property owner be paid fair market value. In the case before the Supreme Court today, the question is, what is a public use? The court has said that building a road or a railroad or clearing slums is a public use. The question today is whether the city of New London, an area designated by the state as distressed and in desperate need of economic development, can force a handful of holdouts to sell their homes so that the city can transfer large parcels of property to private companies for development. In many ways, this is a tale of two cities. The New London of the past, where immigrants for generations raised their families in the Fort Trumbull neighborhood, and the New London of the future, or the possible future, with a high-tech area that is able to attract jobs, people, and taxes that would replace the fleeing population and deteriorating tax base. Seven property owners have refused to sell. The seven, some of them families, own 15 homes, some attached houses on tiny parcels of land, a tenth of an acre, dotted around the neighborhood. The seven owners have been offered a total of $1.6 million by the city, but unlike the other homeowners who've already sold and moved out, these have said no.
It's never been about the money.
Matt Derry is the home delivery sales manager for the local newspaper.
It's about our autonomy. It's about having the choice whether you want to move or not.
At the turn of the century, Matt Derry's great-grandparents built the home where his elderly parents now live. Back in 1917, the first floor was a small grocery store, which his grandmother ran for 40 years. Then his father ran it, then he ran it, and then his brother. Two brothers have died on the family property, which includes four houses, one of which Matt lives in with his wife and son. It was a wedding present to him from his grandmother. His parents live next door, and two other houses are rented out.
This property means a lot more. It's a snapshot of my mother's whole life, and also a snapshot of our lives as well. I garden the same property that my great-grandmother gardened.
And so when the Connecticut Supreme Court ruled that Derry and the other holdouts had to sell their property to the city for redevelopment, the homeowners appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. One of the lawyers who represents the city of New London is Thomas Londrigan. Like Matt Derry, his immigrant grandparents also built their first home in Fort Trumbull, only to see it torn down to make way for the railroad. A second house his grandparents built was torn down in the redevelopment that he is defending.
It is very, very difficult to look at anybody who is living in their home and tell them they have to move for the greater good, whether it be for a highway or for economic development.
There would have been no greater good in New London were it not for a confluence of events. The federal government, which owned 32 acres of land, closed its facilities and decided to give the land to the city. The Pfizer pharmaceutical company decided to build a $300 million research facility next door. And the state of Connecticut decided it would invest some $70 million to clean up the area and help redevelop it. Wesley Horton will represent the city in the Supreme Court today.
Everything sort of came together, the stars being aligned in the late 1990s.
The result was a plan ratified by the city council to fill in the floodplain in the Fort Trumbull area, clean up the environmental mess on the peninsula, upgrade the water and sewer facilities, and lease the area to private developers with requirements that they do certain things. Under the plan, there would be office buildings, a hotel and conference center, shops and condominiums, as well as parking for the marina and the newly refurbished state park. To do all this, 90-plus property owners had to be bought out, and most were. But even as millions were being spent to bulldoze the area and eradicate decades of environmental hazards, seven property owners remained defiant. Today in the Supreme Court, they will be represented by Scott Bullock of the Libertarian Institute for Justice.
The government is taking land from one private owner and handing it over to another private owner, not for a traditional public use like a road, but simply because they want to receive the trickle-down benefits of jobs and tax revenue.
If that logic is accepted by the Supreme Court, says Bullock, nobody's property will be safe.
Everybody's home, every church, every corner store would be more productive and create more tax revenue as a Costco or a Home Depot. If the government can take somebody's land simply under the prospect of getting more tax dollars out of the new use, private property ownership is going to be fundamentally transformed in this country.
Nonsense, says the city's Tom Londrigan.
This is not a residential zone. It has never been a residential zone since zoning began in New London.
This isn't, he says, like taking a private home to build a Walmart. The area has been zoned for commercial and industrial use since the first zoning in 1929. But in recent decades, the area has been plagued by massive job losses as employers left, the most recent being the Naval Undersea Warfare Center and its 1,500 jobs. Unemployment skyrocketed, and the city hemorrhaged population. The result, say the town fathers, is that Fort Trumbull, the neighborhood that was supposed to be the commercial hub of the city, was instead a drain. The commercial vacancy rate was 80%, the residential vacancy rate 20%. The residential housing, which predated zoning, was old and often in disrepair, with many houses, like the Dairies, located next door to the regional sewage plant. With the state and federal governments offering money to clean up and remodel the area, the city considered six redevelopment plans. Lawyer Tom Londrigan.
Those six plans went through the democratic process. Everybody had a say. The city council took a vote. 6-1, they voted not to go forward with the existing housing stock that was on these 90 acres.
Now, he says, a handful of people are trying to get the Supreme Court to say that the city council made the wrong choice. And that, says Londrigan, is not the function of the courts. The homeowner's lawyer, Scott Bullock, sees the flip side of the argument, suggesting that the city build around the holdouts, combining the old and the new, as other cities have done. Today, he will tell the Supreme Court that most states prohibit taking private property from one owner and turning it over to another private property owner, and that the writers of the U.S. Constitution never envisioned such a transfer of property. But the city counters that the developers are not interested in building around a few holdouts. If New London falters, they say, there is plenty of open land in less densely populated parts of the country where developers can go instead. Lawyer Wesley Horton.
New London's been going downhill for decades, and there's nothing they're going to be able to do about it if they can't put together a large enough parcel that's going to attract developers. If you want to revive the city of New London, they have to condemn property. That's the fact of life.
That's a refrain echoed in Friend of the Court briefs filed by dozens of organizations representing other towns and cities. Cities with limited acreage for development and a pressing need to increase the tax base to fund education, law enforcement, and other needs. On the other side is an unusual coalition of conservative as well as liberal organizations like the NAACP and the AARP, arguing that the majority's economic interests should not be permitted to trample on individual property rights. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.